A small group of disciples are huddled together after Jesus' crucifixion, and the Jesus movement, which had begun in such great promise in Galilee, was apparently defeated. And they are low in spirit. And this story is an appropriate text for this Sunday, traditionally called Low Sunday in the church. There are not as many of us gathered here today as there were last Sunday. This Sunday is not the great throng of Easter, but rather the faithful few of the Sunday after Easter. And the nature of this Sunday gives us something in common with those disciples who were huddled together in their fear, in their despondency, after the crucifixion of Jesus. Night has come upon them. It is the end of a horrendous weekend in which they saw Jesus, the one whom they believed to be the Messiah, horribly tortured to death on a cross. It was night, and they were low. And if you're a mainline Protestant Christian today, an Episcopalian, a Presbyterian, a Lutheran, a Methodist, the church can be a dark, depressing place as well. I don't mean to be overly dramatic, but in the mainline Protestant church, we've been through maybe 3 or 4 decades of real despondency. We've collectively declined in our membership by the millions. Most worship in half-empty churches. The majority of our churches are in decline. None are growing. And in such a situation, it's easy to do a lot of blaming. Our clergy should have left politics to the Democratic Party. Amen. Our laity should have asked to hear more about Jesus from the clergy. Amen. We should have been more earnest in inviting others to come to church with us. Amen. We should have been more hospitable once newcomers came. Amen. We should have been more inclusive and welcoming. Amen. We should have, we should have, we should have. For about 2 decades, when we mainliners gather to talk about ourselves and the future, there's not much confidence in that conversation. And so we point fingers. The decline is your fault. No, you're to blame. No, you're to blame for the fix that we're in. And in all of this, I suppose, we're much like those first disciples huddled together there that Easter evening. Of course, they didn't know it was Easter. For them, it still felt like Good Friday. The darkness had overwhelmed them. There was a lot of blaming to go around. Imagine how Peter felt. After all his grand declarations of fidelity and courage, what did all these disciples do when the going got rough? Peter, like all the others, ran away. But it wasn't just Peter the rock. They all forsook Jesus, and they fled that night that the soldiers came to take Jesus away. You see, it wasn't only Judas who betrayed Jesus. They all had betrayed Jesus in their own ways, in their fear and their cowardliness when the soldiers came. And yet, here is the amazing thing that happens to them in the depth of their guilt and their despair. It was to this despondent, blaming, pitiful little band of failures that the risen Christ appeared. He came through their locked doors, and he rejoined the very ones who had so terribly forsaken him. And what did he say to them? He said, "Peace be with you." They couldn't believe it. These disciples who'd been with Jesus every step of the way couldn't believe it was Jesus until the risen Christ showed them his wounds. And then their fear, their blaming, their guilt turned to joy as the disciples rejoiced when they recognized him. And Christ breathed on them, giving them new life. He breathed on them just like the Father had breathed life into the world at the dawn of time. And it was an amazing moment. But what I want you to notice this low Sunday, the very first thing that Christ said to them, he said, very first, "Peace be with you. In other words, the first thing he said to them was, don't be afraid, I forgive you. Imagine how Jesus' first words of forgiveness were received by those disciples. John said they were terrified. And I suspect that they were terrified not only out of fear for the soldiers and the collaborators who had put Jesus to death, for these crucifiers might now be looking for them, but perhaps they were also fearful of Christ himself. What if the first words Christ had spoken were, where were you people? After all I did for you, and look what you did when I could have used some support? That's what the risen Christ might well have asked them. You call yourselves disciples? I had a fairly good view from where I was, hoisted up on the cross to die, and I looked out into those crowds, and I didn't see you. Where were you? You see, there's plenty of blame to go around. They were all, every one of them, not just Judas, they were all betrayers of Jesus in one way or another. They had all refused to believe what he had said, and they all refused to follow his commandments and stick with him. And yet the Gospels all agree that these were the ones to whom Jesus returned. John says the first thing Jesus says to these disciples is, peace be with you. He stilled their dread of what he might say or do to them, and he gave them forgiveness. They needed to forgive one another. Can you imagine all the blaming and division going on in that group? If you've ever been a member of a church in trouble, a church fighting for its life, a church in decline, then you know how easy it is to blame one another for all of our problems. A wise old priest once told me, when a church is not fighting with the world, the church turns in on itself and the members can kill one another. And it was to these people, caught in their own despair, caught in their own grief, caught in their own guilt and blaming, that Jesus comes and pronounces peace. He gave them forgiveness. Their relationship with Jesus was resumed only by Jesus' act of forgiveness of his disobedient, betraying disciples. Of course, forgiveness is at the heart of Jesus' ministry. I'm thinking of all those times Jesus walks up to people, and one of the first things he says to them is, your sins are forgiven. Oftentimes, they're not even talking about sin or forgiveness. You expect some of these people to say, who said I was a sinner? Who said I had sins that needed forgiveness in the first place? Jesus keeps extravagantly, preemptively announcing forgiveness. Most of the people he forgives never repent, never say they're sorry for what they did or the way they lived, and Jesus forgives them. And Jesus commands us to be forgivers as well. Jesus told us that we are to forgive our enemies. When he taught us the Lord's Prayer, he didn't encourage us to bring all of our aches and pains and need before our Heavenly Father in prayer. Rather, he spoke of forgiveness. He spoke of forgiving those who trespass against us. He urged us to forgive those who betray us and wrong us. And when he hung on the cross, he looked down upon us and he said, Father, forgive them.